Welcome back to Toys on Tap. This week is an incredible episode where I get to sit down with two amazing people that run the coolest show, ToyCon UK. We get to sit down and talk through all things toys, when the convention started, how it's going, where it's headed, all things. If you want more Toys on Tap, you can jump on socials at Toys on Tap. You can follow us on YouTube at Toys on Tap. If you want to support the show, you can jump on anywhere you get podcasts, like, follow, rate, review. It helps us get out to the world and get more toys and more things like toy content into people's hands. And if you want to support the show even more, you can jump on patreon.com/toysontap. That's where you get extra episodes of the Nitty Gritty, any downloads we do, the video interviews, all that stuff. Now let's get to this week's episode, Toys on Tap.
Hello.
Hey, hey.
Hello. Hi, this is Blair.
Nice, nice. It's good to have both of you guys in the same room for this.
Yes, we thought it would make it much easier, for sure.
Yeah. Also, you don't have an accent. What is going on there?
I'm originally from Canada, actually. And then I lived in London for a while when we met. And then now I live in Hong Kong. So I have, adjusted accent for being in different places. So.
Yeah, awesome.
A lot of stories, though. Sorry.
I'm pumped that you guys are on. I mean, I don't remember how long ago it was, but we had like a 2-hour, 3-hour conversation on the phone, talking about everything that had to do with toys and ToyCon UK.
A lot about toys.
And that was crazy. It was like the first time I had engaged with you guys, and it was like, all right, we're talking for 2 hours. So, but I was pumped about it. And so it's been a long time coming to have you guys come on, and we're going to kind of talk through everything that's coming up, and you're going to tell me the history of ToyCon.
Awesome.
So, before we do anything, please introduce yourselves. Tell us who you are and what you do.
Hi, my name's Blair. I guess I'm partner in ToyCon UK and also Kore. So I'm toys full time. I'm all in on toys. So doing the conventions, doing the shop, other conventions, living in Hong Kong and just buying and selling toys all the time. Yeah. Toy shops every day, you know, that kind of stuff. So in my past life, I was an accountant back when I lived in Canada. When I moved to London in 2012, that's when Ben and I met. We actually originally met on
the Kid Robot Forums
is where we first came across each other. And
Canadian Turbo, Vinyl Hammer.
Yes. He graciously agreed to meet me for coffee after I moved to town. And I guess the rest is history, as they say. So
but, that's intense.
I'm Ben. I'm sort of, I suppose, the creator, the one who first went, I want to do a show with ToyCon. Originally started it off with a guy called Barry and another guy called John Joe. And just through, you know, life and stuff like that, it's ended up with us too. So, I have a day job. I'm a manager for a communications company. But, it's my passion is toys. I like toys a lot. So, ToyCon, I mean, how many years is it now?
The first one was 2013.
Yeah. So we're 11 years now. So we fit kind of nicely into the scheme of things, it seems, with all the other shows. And but that's pretty much my story. That's how we already how we met. So
to have, I mean, to be toy, like that is your whole life, toy, and then to have to
do have other things going on as well. It's not completely toy, so you know what I mean. So
it doesn't really pay the bills all that well either. So
right. So, but you are toys full time, and you are kind of toys part time. How is that work out?
It's been full time, so yeah. But it's just I have to maintain a certain lifestyle, so it's unfortunately toys don't cover that at the moment, but you know, fingers crossed, always dreaming the dream, so you know, we are trying so
awesome. So take me back to 2013 at the like first conceptions of wanting to do a show.
Right, well, I didn't know John Joe. I used to buy toys from Barry. His old store was a store called Hangang, and used to basically sell a lot of Japanese toys that I was into and had got into by that stage. I mean, I've been collecting since, 2000, 2001? So, yeah, really long time. So, yeah, I mean, I've got so many toys. It's
like, I was 11 back then, by the way, so.
I'm old. I'm quite old, so I'm older than him. So, yeah. I'm the sort of person who I like to get on the phone to people, as you know, from chats. But, yeah, I like to speak to people. And I got a relationship going with Barry. I was buying off of him and kind of, because if you want the stuff, it helps to kind of, you know, have that relationship. So from there, and yeah, I thought about it. I mentioned to him and he wasn't really going to get involved. But at the same time, someone else, who'd kind of John Joe, who was the partner of a toy producer, UK based, plush toy. They've been kind of like mooting around the same idea. So, yeah, so he kind of brought us together. And yeah, from there and then he came on board as well, and we kind of did it for a few years as a threesome as such. But yeah, original first one, we were at the old, what's it called? Baden Powell House, which is in Kensington, and it's basically the Scouts HQ. So it's like quite a small hall. I think back now, it was really tiny. I can't believe we fitted so much in. But yeah, we kicked it off there, and it was, for the UK, it was a success. It generated enough for us to continue doing it. And that was, I suppose, for me, it's always been a hobby. Again, I would love the hobby to turn into a business, but, you know, it's always been a hobby. And I think, you know, maybe with the other guys, that's why, you know, with life and stuff, but why they're not sort of in ToyCon anymore, just because the feeling of the hobby wasn't as strong, you know. So, because again, it's, yeah, we are very small in the UK. The scene's very small. So it's growing. I mean, like the whole, you know, we've got Pop Mart absolutely exploding over here, and a lot of people are into it. You see a lot, but it's always been quite a little niche thing here, you know. So we have kind of, but we are still here. We're still doing it. And, you know, the coronavirus and all that sort of thing, that obviously, like everyone else, had a big effect. And that was kind of real sort of seat of the pants time. But, I mean, by then, you know, Blair was already involved. And so, you know.
Nice.
And it's much stronger. It's much stronger for you. I mean, we're really good friends as well. So, you know,
Yeah. And Blair, when you like made toys your whole life and you get over there, how did you, when you first, I guess, came about on this forum, and how'd you get involved with ToyCon UK? How'd that happen?
Well, I had met Ben in 2012. So
you're Kane. So, very Kane.
He was planning the event, the first one, we were already becoming good friends. Mm. So I was kind of, you know, hearing what was going on and all that stuff. So I went to the first, I've been to every single ToyCon there's ever been. I've still been to every single one. So I went to the first one just as a customer and supporting Ben's venture, and obviously as a toy collector. And so the second one, I think I sort of became because we got even better friends, I became like a volunteer and helped do the setup and stuff the day before. And the same with, I think, the third one. And by the time the third one happened, John Joe had decided that was his last one.
Yeah.
And so I was there to take his place basically at that point in time. So then I officially became the new third partner at that point in time.
Mm. It was, I mean, I kind of manufactured, I'm not going to lie to you, I manufactured it. But because the thing is, because of Toy-Con, the nature of it, it's not a big money maker. So you need to have that passion. And I knew well enough that, you know, he's committed enough that you know, because, yeah, there have been hard times and all of that. And, yeah, we're sort of the two that are still here, but and still really, really, you know. I mean, obviously, we did it because there's nothing else sort of like that really in the UK that's just distinctly designer toys and such. But, yeah, it's I suppose with our other company, it's a bit of a, you know, a vehicle to promote things and promote all of that and our other interests as well. Yeah. So, you know, it's...
Because we started Kore in...
Meet Chum, the adorably deadly hammerhead shark creation from Pocket Salsa and Toys on Tap that has come from the depths to join your toy shelf.
Shark! Take it out of the water! Shark!
He can be found in the wild later this year in several different blank colours, and in some cases, rarer painted versions of Chum can be found. This chubby little guy comes in at 4 inches tall with 1 point of articulation.
You're gonna need a bigger boat.
He is the perfect mix of cute and deadly.
I am never going back in the water.
Don't miss out on your chance to capture one of these little guys before they're gone.
2015.
It's 10 years, 10 years.
Yeah, it's going to be 10 years the next
10 years on that.
So we started that in 2015, so that became our retail sort of arm.
Well, first of all, we were imagining as actually an importer and supplying kind of certain, you know, stuff shops and sort of lifestyle stores, that sort of thing, with interest in gacha or whatever, but obviously in countertop boxes rather than machines. And although we did sort of like bang the idea about importing machines and getting that sort of thing set up, but again, it's a tough old market in the UK, you know.
But see, we were ahead of our time.
Yes.
Right?
Pop art and stuff here. You know, so. It's all you need. It's just the multi-million-dollar backers. That's all.
Yeah. That's why we're here, right? It's crazy that it started off of just this hobby and it's gone this long. Like, usually hobbies die out or hobbies just don't. But you've done some amazing work.
Yeah, I mean, but again, it's a bit selfish because, you know, it's, you know how difficult it is to actually secure toys in you know, this world, you know, especially things in Asia and stuff. And he lives in Asia and it's still difficult to get stuff. So, and again, you know, we've been in the business, we have contacts and stuff, but, you know, one of the main things always for me from the show is so I spend a load of money and I get my, add to my collection, you know. And
he did shops the whole
week. It's just so good. But yeah, you know, we don't get many opportunities. I guess that's the point. We don't get many opportunities. So yeah, I spend a load of money, and that's really what, you know, what I get the buzz about. Of course, it's seeing mates and all the usual, you know.
Yeah.
And that's another thing with Toy-Con is that, and I think we've been really lucky in the last couple of years. We've got like the likes of like Real Head, Gokudo, Uemu, just, you know, some real punk drunkers, mainly again sort of like big Asian names. But you know, for us, they're like, you know, getting these names over. And I'm spending a lot more money now as well. I mean, this is the difference from the very first one, because both of us have always been quite sort of, I mean, we both collect Bear Bricks. That's really, he's called Blair Brick. That's one of his monikers. So, but again, we're always into the vinyl thing. And like the beginning, you know, it was the UK, a lot of the UK guys, they start off using resin and things like that. And I suppose that wasn't completely like what we collect and what we're into. So, but as things have moved on and Toy-Con has actually got a bit of name for itself, and again, we're in London, we know we're in an all right place to come and visit. So, but yeah, it's you know, and London in the spring is absolutely delightful. So yeah, but for us, it's actually morphed into something that, you know, we really are even more passionate about. I think than you know, I know I really, you know, it's the last few, especially since COVID, that has really kind of lifted us up. So, and also I think put us on the map quite a bit more as well. So, but yeah, I mean, we're just kind of happy that it goes on and yeah, people come to it really and then enjoy it. And that's what I suppose I was going to say was that, yeah, it's a very happy vibe there. Yeah. It's still relatively small compared to other shows around the world, but still a nice size that, you know, and if people, the way they sell their stuff staggered over 2 days, you know, it makes it quite nice for people to spend the whole weekend.
People,
at the show, so.
People can get good scores.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely, yeah. Things that you wouldn't stand a chance at other shows, where you've got a couple of thousand people in front of you, yeah, you can walk up and buy it. You know, it's very, very good.
I mean, with something like Designer Con that's coming up in November, it's like, yeah, they've released like what the, it's in Vegas and they've released what it's going to look like the layout, and it is insane. I was looking at it, my wife was looking over my shoulder and she was like, what is this?
Have you ever been?
Yeah, but it looks like it's doubled in size. And so to like, I was telling her like, oh, I have to walk down all these aisles. Like, that's what this is. This is a roadmap to collect and bring back hordes of toys. So I'm so sorry. But
Okay. Give the apology in early. It's a good idea, actually. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Leave away the groundwork.
Yeah, that's how you do it. And then you slide in. When you first started, like, tell me about the growth that has happened. Because, I mean, to get things like all these companies.
We missed out an actual venue. We went from Baden Powell and then we went to a place in East London, which has got quite a bit of sort of historical bit of history to it, basically, which is York Hall, and they have a lot of the old boxers in there. So, which we're always fighting for dates with boxing promoters because they just blanket book everything and just let their deposits go if they didn't do it. But so had this kind of, but it was cool, but then it was okay for a time. You know, that's the thing. It was actually a nice size space, but unfortunately, it was actually an old swimming pool underneath the floorboards. It was sprung. So if someone, say, it was a little, like, on the heavier side, strode down the aisle, oh, man.
All the tiles were rough.
You know what I mean? It's like people, especially the resin critters, they, you know, that stuff can be heavy, so you didn't want that. So so it was, and then we've now grown and we're now at the far more professional Novotel, which is purpose built. They've got a few different spaces there, and we're in the Chablis room there. They're all named after different types of wine and things like that, so different booze. But we've kind of at the moment.
How many vendors were at the first one? I don't remember.
Oh, it's like maybe 25, 30. Yeah.
That's huge for your first show, though. That's huge.
Yeah, it was. I mean, I guess it was. Yeah. Was it? I'm trying to think. Yeah, it must have been about 25 or 30. We really squeezed them in.
Yeah.
I mean, we really squeezed them in. But, and then about, I think it's about 40 booths in York Hall, and we're up to about capacity, about 60.
Yeah,
about 60
now.
So, yeah. Yeah, it's
grown. We're nowhere near like a decon.
No,
right.
But we still limit to 3D stuff, toys. We don't bring in like 2D art or anything.
We are very
has to be toys kind of
criteria.
Level.
So. Yeah, you've got to be producing something. And, you know, I mean, again, the UK lot, they're really creative, aren't they? And what they, you know, because a lot of them don't have access to studios. I mean, a lot of them are actually getting a lot, I suppose, offers and stuff made by different companies now, but really it's always been quite a resin based scene. But again, what people, you look at people like Deadbeat City, and even though he's not British, but he's always at ToyCon, Muffin Man, you know, these guys are like, I mean, what Muffin Man does with resin, I mean, rotocasted resin that looks like glass, you think it's going to be weigh a ton, and you pick it up robin like that and it's just, and light as a feather. It's amazing. Yeah, really, really clever guys. And yeah, you know, that I think.
So, yeah, but besides just us growing, we've seen growth in like vendors.
Quality too, right? As well is, you know.
And then going from starting artists to like having, you know, relationships with like Unbox and having their own items produced.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah,
and those
yeah.
deals have happened on the floors of ToyCon and stuff, which, you know, is inspiring for us that we are keeping the local scene going too, because it is still predominantly
also
local.
Each year, the new people that come in also bring just really amazing designs and just finishes and the QC on it, everything. It's like, yeah, just always stepping it up, you know, really. Yeah, it's very pleasing to walk around a room when it's first set up and it's your show and everything just looks really, really spot on, you know. And there's people you've never even maybe heard of before them applying, you know, because there is a lot of people that are doing it and trying to get into it. But and I mean, it's nice as well though, because we've got like South Africa, that's the thing with London. Obviously, we have a lot of different people coming from all over the world to live here. So again, it's quite sort of scattered, sort of where people are from, and so yeah, it's and just their influences, and yeah, it's very pleasing to stroll around the room and see really, really nice work, you know.
Yeah, there's something I love a lot about the idea that you have to create toys to be there. Though I love some of the 2D artists, and I have 2D art that I've collected and stuff. I
of
think
we've both got collections.
But when I go to a show, I want to, like, if it's especially called ToyCon, like, I want to see toys. Like, that's why I'm going. And so I think there is this almost this temptation probably for conventions that as they grow, they're like, oh, we can bring in this artist this year. But you guys have kept it to toys, which means the world to those that are in the community.
Yeah, definitely. I think so. I definitely, as a convention, you know, host, you see, you know, the potential for growth, and, you know, you just want to go, the sky's the limit, right? But that's always going to dilute the experience of what you started with. Mm-hmm. So we've definitely tried to keep it, you know, only organic growth and kind of just what we've done from the beginning, but just always a little bit bigger each year. But yeah, if you don't make toys.
Empire Blister. Empire Blisters. Specializing in action figure blisters. 2.75 inch or 1/18 scale. 19 different styles. Two sizes of clamshell figure cases. Four different bulk pack options. Quantities of 100 sample packs available. Empire Blisters.
Now sponsoring Toys on Tap.
That means a 10% off coupon on checkout. Use code Toys on Tap 10. That's TOYSOMTAP 10.
Empire Blisters.
Unfortunately, we won't let you in. So not trying to be mean or anything like that. It's just what we want to have at the show, right?
It's also kind of curating it. You know, we try to curate it again to so things are, you know, us curating it is why everything's just gets better and better. You know, and again, people are always striving to make it better because they do kind of have a deep down feeling that, you know, I mean, basically, if they bring it, it's not going to sell. If it's not good enough, it's not going to sell. You know, that's the long and short of it. So, and there's also always costs involved in all of these things. So, yeah. So, you know, people, So,
we'd love to have decons, like, you know, problems, but it's not realistic, I think, either here, right?
Yeah.
So, and the market, I just don't think is like that here either. So,
tell me about the toy community in the UK as a whole. I mean, running Toys on Tap, I talk to artists all over the world, and it's interesting that the toy scene is still relatively new.
You had Evil Ion, didn't you?
I did.
They made their debut at ToyCon this year.
Yeah, fun to talk to. Like, I think the hard part is, like, the scene as a whole is still relatively new as an art form. I mean, we like 30, 40 years at the earliest, if we have like designer toys. And yeah, that seems like a young art, and it's so exciting to see that it's growing and doing these things. So tell me about the toy scene in the UK.
You live here more.
Yeah, so. Again, as I've said, I mean, it's a lot more, I suppose, DIY. That's really the, you know, the. But I mean, again, there's certain people that are very good at what they do, and they actually provide services to other people to get their stuff made. So there's a lot of that. It's funny actually, because like the Saturday and the Sunday on ToyCon are like two different beasts completely. Saturday is like absolutely crazy. You know, we're now doing basically a lottery to get the order of it, because we've had so many problems with people literally camping out for like what, 26 hours, those two Filipino guys. You know what I mean? It's just like, yeah, but because, you know, they want those, there's these certain things, they know, and it's, they've got to have them. So, but yeah, so, yeah, sorry, the 2 days, yeah. But the Sunday is much better for basically schmoozing. But that schmoozing between all the different vendors and artists, you know, that's where kind of the magic starts to happen, as Blair said, you know. Unbox has working with and with a few people, and they're always kind of looking at what's about, and
I think there's a lot of progression with like the artists here, and obviously over the years we've seen it that most of them start either, as you say, DIY or either customizers and stuff. Yeah. So it starts, yeah, they have a lot of organic growth themselves over the years. You compare some of them from their first toy cons to their current. You know, there's huge changes in what they've done and their skills.
But I would say that maybe the customization has actually receded a little bit. I mean, you've still got the big hitters here, you know. But I think a lot of the new people bring a lot more original. Or, I mean, obviously, pop culture plays a big part here. You know, people are into, whether it's video game, comic, whatever, you know, movies. Yeah, but it's still kind of quite original, sculpted, and, you know, it's sort of moving on more towards that sort of thing. So,
yeah.
And then from a customer, or like a customer kind of perspective, I think, unfortunately, because there's not very many toy stores, not very many things here, there's a lot of pent up, you know, demand and stuff. So when ToyCon is on the schedule, people are, you know, very pumped and hyped for it, because it's the, you know, the one beacon of the year, where they're going to get their designer toys fills locally, as opposed to, you know, traveling or whatever. Yeah. So I think there's, you know, people get very excited about it. So we maybe have a bit more anticipation than, you know, some markets, because maybe they have so many events. You know, Asia, there's a toy event every weekend almost in parts of Asia now, right? So
with the galleries now as well. Yeah,
so, you know, got a lot going on. The hype there is maybe a bit different, where here I think people, you know, or get that much more anticipation, because it's a special, it's like Christmas coming around for a lot of people, right? They save their money, they book their holidays, you know, to get as much out of the weekend as possible. And they interact better, I think, too. In a lot of toy shows, it's very transactional based, right?
Yeah, a lot of time.
I think you get a lot more communication between those two parties at ToyCon
than you do
at a lot of other shows, and that kind of builds the community overall. It's small, but I think it's very dedicated and stable community.
Yeah, which I would take a dedicated and stable community any day over like this big community that won't buy anything. I like hearing that about ToyCon, because my favorite part about going to a convention is really just communicating with the artist, especially with doing Toys on Tap. It's a lot of me just getting to know people. But you're in this weird middle ground where you don't want to take up too much time that they miss out on a sale, but you also want all the information and attention on you. And so Sunday sounds like the most ideal day at that convention.
It's really nice Sunday. It's very chilled, isn't it?
But the Because when we started, it was only one day. Yeah, so there was a point where we transitioned to 2 days, and it was a bit of a struggle to get the vendors over that hump.
The first we had a few toys out, and a few people actually stopped vending.
Yeah,
stopped
they didn't want it in 2 days, right?
Didn't like
but
it.
But I think now it's become their favorite day because it's also they get to catch up as the groups of the artists too, right? So
because it's again they've known each other through ToyCon for that amount of years, 11 years. Yeah. Like I mean it's weird because obviously we used to have Kid Robot over here, and there did used to be a bit more of a social scene, I guess, you know, where people would meet up a lot more. And I think that's another thing why, as you were saying, ToyCon is now, because it's down to lives. People just don't have as much time, and you know, if there aren't as well, I suppose these places that draw everyone that are always there to kind of, you know, I don't think that's something that Popmart doesn't really make.
No.
It doesn't. The thing
except
that I guess
for, we, except for them in the queues for the
bloody Labubu in the queue.
there was
a restock yesterday, so we saw two different Popmarts yesterday, and both of them had queues for the Labubu restock. So
holy moly.
Yeah.
When you guys began doing the retail side as well, how did you know that was the way that you wanted to go to kind of partner in with the convention?
I think it was just, again, it was a bit selfish because we were trying to get products that we ourselves wanted to buy.
Oh, yeah, I have that same addiction.
Yeah.
And things that maybe, you know, weren't represented at ToyCon, so we could see where the hole that necessarily kind of needed to be filled, right? So we sort of, you know, and we run the convention, so we can pick and choose what booth we want and stuff like that. So you know, you get a bit
silly not to.
It's a bit easy, but yeah, we sort of, you know, and in those early years, Ben was doing more of the convention, and then I was on Kore to do the retail side. So we kind of just, you know, it just became a natural fit that, you know, we're doing this convention, so why don't we have a booth to sell stuff? And at first it was kind of just for the convention, but then it was, you know, became, well, why can't we just do this all the time with an online shop and things? And then in the meantime, that's when I moved from London to Hong Kong. So my access to product and everything became much greater all of a sudden, because I was able to visit everyone in person.
We still changed from trying to do the import business and selling to other people in the UK to actually we might just sell it ourselves
and then kind of make it more a global shop as well, right?
Yeah,
and
we ship anywhere,
and I've done Designer Con, I've done Fire,
he's been around,
you know, I do shows in Hong Kong and Asia around. So I do, you know, because I'm full time, I try to do the global circuit a bit more if I can with that retail arm while doing that, and also promoting then ToyCon UK to the rest of the world at the same time too, right?
We've also done quite a lot of consultancy stuff, like with Tim.
Yeah, we do some production stuff. You know, I helped a bit on the Boglins project when they came back around.
Okay.
A couple of years ago, right? So I was doing some consulting with the factories, being a link to, you know, production factory and stuff there as well.
He's a lovely man, Tim. Lovely Tim Clark. Shout out to Tim.
He's on the list to get on the podcast. He's definitely on that list.
I'll send him a message.
Yeah, we'll put a word in for you.
Yes. I think the joy. Because my heart gets racing, right? Like for the day that I get to go to ToyCon UK, that's where I'm excited. And this podcast kind of opens up the door to all things toys, right? So Scott Hensey has come on, and it was an incredible time talking to him. Richard C. Levy, who like helped get the Furby off the ground, he was on the show. And like Lev from Toy Tokyo. So those types of things.
I love that
because they – though I'm addicted to these types of toys and resin and all that stuff, it's so good to meet the people behind it. So Tim Clark, that's awesome that you had your hand in that.
I mean, just the whole Henson thing, do you know what I mean? Let alone the Boglins, you get onto the Henson thing, it's like, it's a cool guy.
So,
probably a bit more interesting than us two as well.
So, I mean, I do have to, like, you're in production then as well, a little bit at least.
Yes,
so what's that look like? I mean, that's a whole nother leg to this beast you're building. Yeah,
it's a whole nother thing. It's just one of those things that being in Hong Kong, you know, and dealing with some of those brands that, you know, I was now so close to the production side of things, because a lot of those Hong Kong artists and brands they have, you know, their own factory connections, or they even own their own factories. So it just became another natural progression to do the.
You got suddenly changed to the people that run the factory. Right. So it's the manager or the owner or whatever.
The thing now, the tough part of it is requires obviously capital investment and choosing the projects to do. You know, and being there, we're only doing vinyl production is what we want to do, right? And so we have produced two pieces ourselves so far. One, the Gromp with Sam Costadel, Angry Hedgehog.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second piece is the RCMB, the Royal Canadian Mecha Beaver, which is something I designed myself, and I, you know, had it sculpted in Japan and then produced in the factory. So
amazing.
So it's
kind of our mascot.
Cool, but it just, one thing with production of toys, especially vinyl toys, is the process is very slow.
Mm-hmm.
And yet the demand and the hype move so fast through toys, but the production side of it is quite time consuming. So there's a bit of a disconnect there. So managing that is tough. Like, you know, the factories are planning, you know, next year's shows already, right? Like, it's you know, so far in advance for that kind of stuff. It's really cool. I haven't actually been into a factory yet. That's one thing I would like to do. I've seen the process, I've held like wax and stuff in my hands and things like that along the process, but I haven't actually been to the physical factory.
That was trying to play well.
They tell you they're disgusting and the smells are horrible and you can't breathe in there and all that stuff. So they discourage you from actually, like, most of them are like, why would you want to see that? Right. So
you don't get why I want to see it. Yeah.
To see it. Right. It's just another kind of thing. So, it's really cool. And we hope to do more of that kind of stuff, because, you know, the easiest way to have stock for your shop is to make it yourself.
Yeah.
But, you know, just because you make something doesn't mean it sells is the problem, though, right?
Yeah. Right, right.
And then you end up with 100 toys sitting in a box somewhere that you can't easily get rid of. But, you know,
when you
scratching your head trying to work out what to do with them.
Yeah.
When you first moved over there, I mean, tell me about that process. Like, that seems like a scary endeavor to move to Hong Kong and just jump full bore into this.
Being part of ToyCon, actually. But as far as toys go, I mean...
Yeah, it's tough to say. Like, my wife was works in finance, and she was transferred to these positions. So it was kind of, we didn't just pack up and say, we're going to move here and do toys, right? So it's kind of, you know, not too hard. But, you know, since we moved from Canada to London, we'd already done an international move. So you kind of know what you go through. Your collection of stuff that you take with you gets smaller and smaller.
It's every time. Spread across the world.
Yeah.
This trip,
like my garage.
Yeah, garage. This trip here in London, I finally just emptied the storage unit that I've...
We interrupt this broadcast of Toys on Tap to bring you this.
Meanwhile, in a galaxy of bootleg treasures...
DOV2, we have engine failure! We must crash land on DKE Toy Planet!
Oh my! We're doomed! Wait! Salvation! Hooray! We're saved, DLP2! Limited edition!
edition custom artist-made action figures and DKE toys.
Check out www.dketoys.com for a full catalog.
Hooray for custom action figures.
DKE.
Had here for 8 years now, so...
I've got a lot of bear bricks. Got a lot of 100% bear bricks downstairs.
So I've got some space in the cabinet as well. Move some stuff luckily here, but so you know, moving to Asia is a weird thing. It's a bit daunting, of course, but my wife and I are up for it. And
it was the thing you always kind of wanted to do.
My wife actually grew up wanting to live in Hong Kong, you know.
Oh, cool.
And we're both from Canada, the same place, Calgary. But it's something she always wanted to do as well. So it kind of, for us, it wasn't that crazy or scary. It's something we wanted to do. So it makes it much easier to pack up and move across the world. You know, there's a lot of differences. We live in a tiny apartment with far too many toys in it.
Yeah.
And, you know, stuff like that. But it's been a wonderful experience, and we're not thinking of moving away from there anytime soon. So yeah, it's worked out, luckily, I guess. So
he comes over here to see me.
Yeah.
So well, there you go.
We've hooked up in Japan because obviously it's quite close for these guys. And my wife and I, we're real Japanophiles. So it's been actually 6 years because of, again, COVID and all that. But we usually try and do every couple of years. So doing long haul is, when you get old, is you can't do it every year. Do you know what I mean?
It gets a bit,
especially with everything that's going. I mean, it's like, I think, a 14, 15 hour flight for us because of what's going on in Ukraine. So yeah, it's going to be, we've got a bit of premium economy, but yeah, it's, for him, it's like 3.5 hour flight. So it's like a dream.
Yeah,
to Japan.
Yeah. So tell me about, I mean, that's all the things ToyCon, right? Now I got to hear about the creators. You started collecting vinyl and toys for some reason. Like, what was the initial reason that you both started collecting toys? Let's start there.
Right.
And then we're going to talk about your collection.
Okay, right. Well, it was my wife. She's usually my wife. My wife is a little barometer of cool shit, basically. And she first got into, we'd been traveling and I'm way off here. I've got to rewind there. Pete Fowler was the gateway. So we used to, and still do, frequent Soho around there, like a bit of shopping, a bit of retail. And there was a shop called Bond, a clothes shop that used to do Stussy stuff, you know, a lot of streetwear, early streetwear shop. And they had Monsterism.
Mm.
And that was where we started. And from there, we've then basically Dunnies. But that was her thing. My thing was, I was aware of it, but I discovered Medicom Star Wars Kubricks.
Okay.
And it's when we'd come back, we traveled around the world, we came back, we moved from East London to Brighton, and there was a Japanese guy there called Iota, and he had a shop called Nasty Nip, and he was a very acerbic gay Japanese man who drank far too much wine. It was very funny. He had a guy in Japan that was buying all this stuff and just shipping it over to him, and he was putting a bit of dough on. And so that was really, Star Wars Kubrick was my thing. And from there, I suppose I then got into the Dunnies. The Dunnies, we both, my wife and I, hit hard. And it kind of coincided with us moving back to London. And there was a great shop called Play Lounge on Big Street in Soho, again, run by a guy called Aidan. And yeah, he just had all the toys that we wanted at the time. And but I mean, those are the days when we were paying like 30 quid, £30 for like an 8-inch dunny and stuff. Like, you know, things were really cheap back in the day. So, you know, we were, and like any kind of new collector, we're a bit scattergun. So, you know, and as I've said, you know, I've never really sold anything. So I live in a fairly good sized flat, but I have a lot of stuff in my garage. So yeah. But my real, I suppose, in the designer toy, real thing, my big design, my big artist was Kozik, Frank Kozik.
Yeah.
I've got a very big collection of his stuff, and yeah, just always really, really dug his things. But from there, got into, I suppose, Japanese vinyl, really, and like a lot of people sort of fell over for all of that stuff. So, yeah, like Real Head, and that was, and you know, again, Real Head been going so long. I've always considered him like the sort of the godfather of, or the granddaddy of designer toys in Asia, because, you know, I mean, I know people sort of say about Michael Lau and things, but I think for what I'm into, he's much more, you know. And also people like Uemu. You know, Uemu was, again, in Play Lounge, her original resin figures, because she went to art school in London. Mm-hmm. So, you know, she was over here, and, you know, we were into all of her stuff very, very early doors, because, yeah, she was here and doing it. So, yeah. But, I mean, from there, that's kind of my sort of my gateway and where I was into. But, yeah, so...
For me, well, I grew up in Canada, so I kind of, and I was born in 1977, so I grew up through the heyday of North American toys.
It was awesome.
So, it was awesome. So I, you know, I started as a young kid. I had the, you know, I got Star Wars figures, you know, first, and, you know, G.I. Joe, Transformers.
You do realize Star Wars was my generation.
Yeah, no, but I had the, I got the toys, right?
So yeah, no.
You know, I was like a, you know, 4-year-old kid getting stuff, you know, like that, and G.I. Joe and all those things. So I always grew up, I was an only child, so I was lucky and got pretty much most things I wanted. So I had a lot of toys as a kid. I always played with toys. And then I guess, you know, when I got to be a teenager or whatever, I kind of moved on from that stuff. But I guess I was a collector at heart, I think. So I always still liked certain things, and I liked Lego a lot, yeah, always fine. Through as well. Yeah. Always have had some Lego in my life. And then I guess I didn't really collect anything till I guess it was maybe early 2000s, and I got onto Bear Bricks, and just seeing them in person and first time and stuff. I went to my wife and I, we went to, did an Asian tour. My wife was working in Malaysia for a little bit when she was in university, and so I went and met her there, and I saw 400% Bear Bricks for the first time in person, and I kind of fell in love with them then and there. I bought my first one. My wife encouraged me, I think regretfully now, to buy my first 400% Bear Brick in Singapore, is where I bought my first one.
Mm-hmm.
And that trip, I think that was it. Bought a few blind boxes of things at the time. And then I went heavy into Bear Bricks then from there. And kind of mostly stuck with Bear Bricks, I think, for the first little while.
Since you came here.
Yeah, really. I got into Cause. Yeah. From Bear Bricks, I got into Cause, yeah. Though. So I was buying, you know, Cause releases from Cause 1 at retail, at, you know, drop dates, you know, that kind of stuff. So, and then once I got here, it kind of expanded a bit more into the vinyl. It probably Ben influenced me a bit with that. And then, of course, now living in Asia, you know, yeah, it's everything, I guess. Central. But I still buy Bear Bricks, unfortunately, or fortunately. And then a lot of vinyl, I guess. Right now, mostly.
You like a big toy.
So I do. I like.
He lives in a very small apartment. Yeah, he likes a very.
I like big a good sized toy. So yeah. You know, big figures. Now, luckily, because we're the dealers, but Headlock Studio is kind of, I have a ton of Headlock now.
I mean, for me, Headlock is like the perfect crossover toy. It just appeals to everybody. It's cute. Monster people like it. There you go. It's just, yeah. And Yeah, I feel we're very lucky that the Blairs obviously, yeah, you know, sort of forged such a good relationship with Ken Headlock, and we're really lucky enough to represent them in, I suppose, UK and Europe, really. So yeah, I mean, that's back to ToyCon. You know, there isn't, we've mooted like ideas of kind of sort of going over to Europe and trying to do something over there, but again, unfortunately, because of Brexit, it makes it so much more difficult now. So it's like starting another company and all that sort of stuff, you know, which is just, but yeah, so yeah.
That's so much.
Let's not get started on Brexit. So.
Yeah.
No politics.
It's interesting that not only has both your shop and the con continued through everything, but it's made it through like COVID and Brexit, and it's continuing to do all these things. And so I'm kind of excited for what's to come. So tell me the excitement for the next show, because the dates have been announced, all that stuff is to come. What's exciting that you're really pumped about for this next show?
At this point, I don't know, because it's still a lot in the planning. There's been some rumblings of some artists that would be very bucket list to have. We won't say anything because we don't want to jinx it or anything like that, but there could be some new big names that come that we're always excited to see who wants to come, right? And what's going to be new. I guess the other thing a bit, so it's going to be Corey's 10th birthday at ToyCon, so UK 2025. So we're planning, our booth there, we're going to try and really go to town for some exclusives and maybe some exciting things for that to celebrate that. So, just excited to keep it going again, right? We usually have a bit of a lull after the convention and kind of just relax and chill, take a bit of time and not think about it too much. And then now this time of year is really when it starts to begin again.
I usually like Monday, Tuesday, I literally don't stop talking. So, but then Wednesday, I just completely crash after ToyCon. It's just, the adrenaline from the weekend is keeps it. But I do everybody's heads in, really. So, but yeah, I mean, we've actually got, again, trying to kind of get things going in the UK a bit more. We've got, as Connie, we've got a pop-up happening, obviously, timing. So, but yeah, it's the 26th and 27th of October. So we would have probably done it by the time this obviously comes out. It's happening tomorrow. Yeah. But yeah, we're just trying to create things for the UK and
build the scene.
Keep
it going and hope to get more artists and customers into it, right?
I suppose the thing is as well, we are, again, I suppose because I live in, we are London centric, and again the Novotel is in West London, and where we're doing the pop-up, which is at a gallery in East London.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's that again is another, is more, is other options of pop-ups around the country and things like that, you know, within the UK. So, you know, it's I think particularly as Kore, sometimes it's maybe not to have the artist there, but if you've got their toys, that's really what the public wants. You know, it's great to meet people, but if you can actually consistently kind of deliver toys to people, and yeah, that's I think what we're sort of the tree we're barking up there, isn't it? So yeah, but again,
yeah, at this point it's tough to know exactly what's going to happen.
Yeah,
but obviously it's going to happen, it's just the specifics of it all is,
yeah,
you know, what goes on, and there's maybe, you know, it just depends who comes.
Well,
and stuff too, right?
Humbox, so I've got, I speak to Dan Willett from Unbox quite a lot, and we're mates. And yeah, they've done cinema nights, tying in with toys that they're releasing, which is very cool. Not sure what they're planning, but yeah, I've been told again some, hopefully some big things from them. So yeah, makes it a lot more interesting.
And are you coming over?
I'm working on it. I'm working on it. Yeah.
You know that.
Yeah, absolutely. It's one of the things. It's the best thing across the pond for us that I would want to go to that like represents what kind of what my podcast is built into and what I want to be around. And so it's the most enticing to get myself on a plane and fly over. Now, remember the convincing of the wife? I'm working on it.
Yeah.
But that's the good thing about London is hardly anyone says no to a trip to London.
There we go.
And
that works to our advantage as well, right? Because people from Asia or elsewhere, you know, sure, it's one thing to come to a toy show, but if there's, you know, periphery things for them to, because you're not just going to come for 2 days.
So,
visiting a city like London is, you know,
fish and chips is usually, I don't know what I've eaten. As much as I've eaten it most of my life, but people knock themselves out for a bit of fish and chips. But
it is a
nice place to come and visit, and particularly, that time of year. So actually it's a bank holiday weekend as well next year. So that's always good. Monday off. So yeah. So I can talk to everybody.
That's what it really is. That's awesome. It's always a pleasure to not only bring people on, but bring people on that are excited about what they do. And I think talking with you guys, and I mean, even from our first phone call, it was like, oh, you're excited. Like, this is a thing that you love.
Oh, yeah, totally. You know, I mean, I'd spend a lot of time on my cabinets and things like that. You know, I spend a load on plastic risers, making everything look so you can see everything. And that's what it's about, you know. And IKEA, fortunately, do some lovely cabinets now. You know, they've really raised their game up. So, yeah, you know.
We're definitely collectors first. Allowed to happen because of that, I think, right?
Basically, right. Next to Blair is about 4,000 vinyl records. So, and that's again, I've got more in my living room and then more in my garage as well. I've got comics, I collect all sorts of stuff, or have collected, I should say. So, but that's definitely the main theme, definitely running through is,
amazing.
Hey, loads of stuff.
It's been amazing to have you guys on. The last part is plugging everything so that people know where to go to find you, how they get to the shop, all those things. So please plug away.
Well, obviously we're ToyCon UK. So the website is toyconuk.com, ToyCon UK on Instagram. Yeah. At this time of year, the socials are a little slow. The website, we're just working on updating.
We're vendors. Actual open next month. The website will be completely updated for all of that. We do kind of go a bit dormant in between shows, so and concentrate on other things. But the things will all start to move, and then
Korakore is korakore.com and Korakore UK on Instagram. The website's always open. We ship worldwide. One thing we do because of our split location is we try to keep stock in both locations. So depending on where the order goes to, we try to keep shipping as soon as possible.
Ship to the US, so sometimes we ship
from Hong Kong, sometimes we ship from here. Yeah. So we try to split that up. As we said, we're having our first ever pop-up event tomorrow for us at this recording time here in London. So it's the first time we've done that. That's why I'm here visiting. So we're going to have new releases from Headlock. Studio, of course, which was always exciting in London. Devil Toys from Hong Kong.
Really nice.
Yasu from Japan.
Charmy Chan. Yeah, really. Yeah, so some nice bits.
So that's a free for people to come down and check it out. So
and hopefully yeah, we'll be there next year doing it again, next fall. So yeah.
Awesome.
Keeping the UK scene going. That's one thing with ToyCon only being once a year. We're kind of looking at trying to have something a little bit more.
And again, as Corica, we've actually tried to do kind of other shows as well. So, you know, more sort of, you know, we did like the LFCC in the summertime. And unfortunately, they don't, we're kind of with ToyCon again, as we've said, you know, people come quite rabid to buy toys, and they come with quite a bit of money in their pockets, and it's just a different culture at a lot of those other shows like the Comic Cons and things like that, but people just aren't really, they don't really get it, and they're not there to actually walk away with bags and bags full of really cool stuff. It's just they're kind of going for an experience as such.
Yeah.
See, see the cosplayers and maybe get some autographs and stuff like that. But yeah, so we've actually have tried to kind of like, you know, and this is why we're like, hey, let's just do it ourselves.
No, there's a big MCM Comic Con.
Yeah, we'll do the same weekend as MCM. We wanted
to do it, was one of the plans, but we pivoted to just doing our own.
They wanted loads of money for it.
It was just stupid money.
It
was worth the risk. Yeah. So we decided to do our own thing and see how it goes.
Yeah.
You know, our local hardcore customers maybe don't want to pay, you know, 30 quid to go into a Comic-Con us, right?
Yeah.
So maybe for them it's better to come to a gallery and hang out and chat and
have a beer
and get what they want, right? Yeah. So
yeah.
So yeah, that's kind of where we are and what we're doing. And yeah,
that's amazing.
Features in toys. So that's always the main thing.
Yeah.
And, I'll be doing amazing toy show as Corey Corey in Hong Kong.
Yes.
In middle December is the next event after that. So, and the last of the year for us.
Yeah.
Awesome.
But no, thank you.
Thank you. I immediately on their phone call, I remember me saying like, okay, what do you guys need? How do I work with you guys? Like, how do I, because I'm into the dedication that you guys have. And so it means the world that you guys gave time and jumped on even with our time difference and everything.
Yeah.
Oh, it's nice we're both in it together as well. It's kind of, it's worked out well, you know, so it's, yeah.